Let's continue reading verses 57 through 75 of Matthew chapter 26. Now, in this last section of Matthew chapter 26, we have our Lord's trial before Caiaphas, the high priest, and Peter's denial of the Lord. Let's read verses 57 through 68. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Once again, some background notes. It's easy to get confused about the trial of our Lord when we read all the different details in the four Gospels. We need to remember that there were two main trials of the Lord Jesus. First, his religious trial, and then his civil trial. Furthermore, both of these trials can be subdivided into three stages each. Now, the three stages of the Lord's religious trial would be as follows. First, before Annas the high priest, then before Caiaphas the high priest, and then before the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. And the three stages of our Lord's civil trial would be as follows. First, before Pilate, then before Herod, and then before Pilate once again. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, we begin with the Lord's trial before Caiaphas, the second stage of his religious trial. The first stage, before Annas, is covered in the Gospel of John. I'm reading John chapter 18, verses 12 and 13. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. And verse 24, then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So that's the first stage before Annas in John chapter 18. And when you come to verse 24 of John 18, then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. This is now the second stage of the religious trial, and that is where Matthew begins his account. Annas, by the way, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, had been high priest before Caiaphas and continued to carry weight in the priestly ranks, so much so that even in the book of Acts, Annas still carried the title of high priest along with Caiaphas. I'm reading Acts chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So there's no contradiction in the Bible here as far as who's the high priest. Annas was first, then Caiaphas, but Annas carried such weight that he continued to be called the high priest, even when Caiaphas was the high priest. Caiaphas, the ruling high priest at the time of Jesus' trial, has recently been documented by archaeology. A few years ago, the ossuary or bone box of Caiaphas was found by archaeologists outside the ancient city of Jerusalem and is now in the Israel Museum. Once again, archaeology supports the historical accuracy of the Bible. Well, certainly more we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, Caiaphas will answer for his shameful treatment of the Lord. Caiaphas will answer for his shameful treatment of the Lord. As high priest, Caiaphas was to be a mediator between God and the people. Caiaphas was to represent the people before God. Instead, Caiaphas did everything he could, including breaking the law, to eliminate the true mediator between God and man. First of all, Caiaphas did not allow any time between Jesus' arrest and trial for a defense to be prepared. Furthermore, only witnesses to testify against the Lord were sought out. There was no attempt to obtain witnesses that would testify as to the Lord's innocence. No defense was even allowed. As high priest, Caiaphas was the presiding judge at the trial and called the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, together as both jury and prosecution. By their own rules, the Sanhedrin was not to meet at night, nor during any of the Jewish feast days. And there was to be at least a full day before any death verdict was passed. And such verdicts were not binding if the Sanhedrin did not convene in their special meeting place in the temple area. Caiaphas led the Sanhedrin in breaking their own rules in order to get Jesus crucified. And look at verses 67 and 68. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Caiaphas had the power and authority to stop such shameful treatment, but he did nothing. Can you imagine such treatment of any defendant today in a court of law, even a person who had committed a terrible crime? What shameful treatment of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord had committed no crime. The most they could come up with was that he had said if the temple was destroyed, he would rebuild it in 3 days. He was speaking of the temple of his body, as we know. But notice how they twisted the Lord's words. The Lord never said, "I will destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days." No, he said, "Destroy this temple." That is, you destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. They misquoted the Lord to make it appear that he was plotting to destroy the temple. Shameful treatment. When Caiaphas put the Lord under sacred oath to testify based on the law in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, the Lord said that indeed he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Furthermore, the Lord quoted the messianic prophecy of Daniel 7 and said in verse 64, "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." In other words, Caiaphas, my glory is veiled now, and it may not look to you like I am the Messiah, but there is coming a day when my glory will be revealed, and you will no longer be in power, but the Son of Man will be given all power and dominion, and you will bow the knee and submit and answer for your actions this day. Caiaphas will answer for his shameful treatment of the Lord. Doctrine or teaching point number two. Peter was repentant for his shameful denial of the Lord. Peter was repentant for his shameful denial of the Lord. Verses 69 through 75. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter had gained access to the courtyard of the high priest's house and was watching the trial from a distance. Back in verse 34 of this chapter, the Lord said to Peter, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But we see in these verses before us that Peter went back on his word. Right in line with the Lord's prediction, Peter denied the Lord three times. We see in verse 72 that Peter even denied with an oath. That is, he called down a curse on himself if he wasn't telling the truth. Now, we say we would never do such a thing. Don't be so sure. It's amazing what we might do if the possibility of crucifixion is staring us right in the face. In verse 73, the bystanders said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. They were referring to Peter's Galilean accent, which was different than the accent of Jews from Judea. Then the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered what the Lord had predicted. And he went out by himself and wept bitterly. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever wept bitterly because of your sins? You know, it's at this point that the Lord can begin to make some major changes in your life. We know that Peter's tears indicated more than remorse and penitence. Peter repented, which involves resolve and change of heart. Peter went on to become a great apostle and never again denied the Lord. In fact, he was martyred for the sake of Christ, most likely crucified upside down. Peter was repentant for his shameful denial of the Lord. Practical application. We can be silent when we're wronged. We can be silent when we're wronged. Notice that in this greatest miscarriage of justice in history, the Lord was silent. As Isaiah 53, verse 7 prophesied, he was like a sheep, silent before its shearers. The Lord certainly could have defended himself and pointed out where his accusers were wrong and unjust and how they were breaking their own laws. But the Lord remained silent until asked under oath if he were indeed the Messiah. Then he said, yes, I am. Why did the Lord remain silent? Because the Lord had put himself and his circumstances into the Father's hands. And we can do the same, even when we're wronged, because we can be sure that God knows and that he is in ultimate control. Now, this is not easy, especially when we are stepped on and treated unfairly because we are Christians. But it is possible to follow the Lord's example at this point. We can be silent when we're wronged.